This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alexa, play 95.7 ESPN.
Playing ESPN Rochester on Radio.com.
All right, welcome back. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. We appreciate you joining us. And very excited to welcome in our next guest, his inaugural visit into the Sports Bar, the sports director at WGRZ in Buffalo. Hey, Adam Benini, how are you, bud?
Gentlemen, doing great. How are you?
Adam, appreciate the time today. I want to get to your thoughts on where the Bills might be headed this offseason. If we could start off with the Sabres, who, yes, they did win last night. But, Adam, I'm sure the same in Buffalo. We're kind of torn here. We know that it's not good, but we know that functional organizations don't make changes every 3 years at the general manager position. So, I mean, this is a dilemma. Where do you think the Buffalo Sabres go from here heading into this offseason in regards to the status of Jason Bottrell?
I honestly don't think Terry Pegula knows what he wants to do. And what little I've heard, they don't want a president of hockey operations. They're comfortable with kind of the layering with the GM and a couple of assistant GMs and the communication and how it flows between ownership and the hockey department. But like you said, with the number of changes they've made at that position and subsequently at the coaching position as well, you know, guys, it's like the quicksand effect. That's what I've said through the years, and there's been a lot of examples of it here in Buffalo with both of the organizations. But the more you change or in the analogy, the more you struggle, right, the further you sink. And that's kind of, I think, almost to a T what we're seeing here with the Sabres organization. They didn't get it right. The mix on the ice clearly isn't right in terms of this roster and how it's put together. They have a top 10 NHL talent in Jack Eichel, who is now entering his prime, and his performance on the ice more than dictates that. And they're nowhere near in position to make the most of that. At this point, hasn't had a whiff of the postseason. So it's a real dilemma, and I'm not sure at this point that the Pegulas have an idea of what way they want to go or how to fix it.
All right.
Because they've already changed so much.
I mean, it's what we heard when he was introduced as the general manager. The word was development. We heard it over and over again. And when I hear that, I think about patience. I think that this isn't going to be a quick fix, and that there isn't going to be some magic, you know, pill that this team can take to all of a sudden become a winner. Are we as fans just a little impatient when it comes to seeing this team that has technically gotten better each year?
I would hardly call 9 years, going on 9 years out of the playoffs, impatient for a fan base.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's why I think you're seeing the reaction that you are over here with, you know, you look at social media, and after every loss, people are up in arms, and, you know, you saw that it wound up amounting to nothing, but you saw that demonstration that took place outside. You know, they want some type of statement or acknowledgement from the Pegulas. I mean, it's risen to this level. And I think the reason why we're leading this segment talking about it is because it's gone on for 9 years now. That's what it is. And whether it was, you know, Darcy Regier originally with the it's going to take suffering, yeah, right? The infamous quote now. And then you had Tim Murray, and now you have Jason Bottrell, whose first pick, for example, was Casey Mittelstadt, right? And he's in Rochester. I mean, at this point, with what this organization needs at center and up front, to have that pick not contributing at the NHL level at this point with some of the other moves, the Ryan O'Reilly trade, that sort of thing, we could go on, but it's a trickle-down effect. And, I mean, they're a team that is probably the easiest in the National Hockey League to match up against, right? I mean, you got to take away one line, and that's it. They can't win in the regular season, let alone the play. Could you imagine this team in a playoff series? It would be four games, five max, if Jack Eichel went off and had a big night or a goaltender happened to steal a game. Five maximum. They are the easiest team. No one sweats them. They're soft. They're not nearly physical or tough enough. Mentally fragile. All of the above. And they should be further along than they are at this point in the, quote, rebuild.
Adam, as far as how to fix things, and you talk about the fan, I don't know, for lack of a better word, uprising, and finally people are starting to say we've had enough here. Having a team president, and Kim Pegula has that title, but she's not one to get in front of the cameras and address fans on simple stuff like jerseys getting mixed up, things that Jason Bottrell has nothing to do with. The need for a team president. But is it feasible that you could hire a president and then have Jason Bottrell all of a sudden report to that? Is that even workable?
Oh, I think it is, but it has to be a president from a hockey background, right? Like, with Kim Pegula as team president, and you have to appreciate a little bit of the history here. I mean, she has a reputation, and you talk to sources in and around that organization. She's involved. She's been involved through the years with a lot of stuff, a lot of influence. You go back to the whole Pat LaFontaine fiasco. They've had to really learn their way as professional sports owners. And Kim has been very much involved. Terry, as well. I think that she is less involved with hockey decision-making now than perhaps she has ever been. But there's a history of it. And it's a history that causes very significant concern among the Buffalo fan base, and I think justifiably So the idea of a president of hockey operations isn't necessarily the role that she's in right now, but it would be kind of a very experienced liaison between ownership and hockey who would oversee, you know, hire a general manager, and that general manager would then go ahead and hire a coach or in unison with the president of hockey operations. They're basically saying that this organization, the people calling for it, and I have in the past, would certainly think that it could benefit the organization now, an experienced set of eyes at the top of the, you know, the hockey pyramid, so to speak, with kind of the setup they have now operating beneath it. I think that's feasible and workable. To your question, I don't think it's what the Pegulas want, though. So I wouldn't hold my breath for that type of situation to evolve.
He's a sports director at WGRZ-TV in Buffalo. Adam Bonini, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. I want to get some takes from you, Adam, on the Bills. But before we do that, you know, the trade deadline coming up here at the end of the month for the NHL. You know, I don't know why the Sabres would be anything but sellers at this point. You've got a lot of free agents and restricted free agents coming up at the end of the season. What are some of the roster moves that you would project to happen for this team here as we come to the end of February?
Well, I mean, you know, I think the name that is most talked about, I mean, you can predict some of the stuff and they're just going to sell off some part. The media tends to hype the trade deadline and make it a way bigger deal than it actually is. There are two types of teams, right? The buyers and sellers, as you would suggest. The Sabres at this point, clearly, I mean, any opportunity they had to be anything but sellers, they had to take advantage of this 9 mm-hmm. out of 10 at home coming out of the All-Star break, and they've dropped 5 of 7 on home ice to this point. So, that's pretty much out the window, given where they're standing. They're going to be sellers. A couple of names, if they are going to make some headlines, what do you do with Ristolainen, right? I mean, I think if they want to shake things up, he might be a guy they'd consider moving at this point, where there's been a lot of talk of trading him in the past, and I know there's interest out there in him, right? You have to look at guys who are going to get you value in return, right? He would be one of them, because I think there's enough school of thought around the National Hockey League where people would think he's been a product of a bad organization, bad set of circumstances, and they could, you know, realize his upside in a different organization. I think there's a lot that, you know, maybe to that argument. So I'd watch that situation if Bottrell's going to try to make a splash. Sam Reinhart's another one that I would trade. And I know you guys are probably saying, what?
Mm-hmm.
The guy's scoring. This team needs scoring. How could you possibly consider trading Sam Reinhart? I think he's a nice player. I think a lot of teams would consider him a nice player. But I just feel like you've got to give up something to get something. And I think they need physicality on this team. There isn't one forechecker, really, who causes an opposing defenseman to sweat in a dump and chase situation, right? I mean, who count the number of guys that will actually go to the net with conviction on this team? It's a very few. Reinhart's actually one of them. He will go there. But that whole, in the last Detroit game last week at the end of the first period, you know, the kind of a lagging on the back check, I think that's an element in his game. I think his game has come along, but I don't know that in terms of a really long-term fit and ultimate success, I wouldn't be against it depending upon the haul they got back and maybe some different elements they introduced into the roster or the lineup that I talked about that, you know, I would consider it. I don't know that they necessarily will at the deadline, but he's a guy that I would consider moving.
Adam Bonini, WGRZ in Buffalo, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Let's talk about something a little more positive, the Buffalo Bills heading to free agency here in March and then the draft and coming off a 10-win season. We do have some unrestricted free agents that are going to test their value here, and you know the three here, Quentin Spain and then the two guys on the defensive line, Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips. If you had to pick one of the three, Adam, which one would you say would be the most valuable to re-sign?
I would probably go with Shaq Lawson. I just think that he's the guy where, you know, what they need in terms of this defense, I think with Ed Oliver, the selection of Ed Oliver, and if he continues to develop, I mean, certainly Jordan Phillips isn't expendable in terms of what he brought to the table this past season. Obviously had a monster year. He's going to get paid. But in terms of what it would probably take to keep him on the roster and what you have and what you might need, I would edge in terms of Shaq Lawson over keeping Jordan Phillips, because I think you're just going to wind up really overpaying for him. Spain wound up being a key element, and I'd certainly think they should work to try and keep him in the mix on that offensive line if they can. I know they cleared up a little bit more cap space. They have a lot to work with and cleared up a little bit more by restructuring Star Latulele's contract yesterday over the final 3 years to free up some money. So that process is going on, but I think the continuity issue on the offensive line and certainly on that defensive front is going to be key, and Sean McDermott has alluded to that.
Adam, we talk about available free agents when free agency actually opens up here in the middle of March, and then, and of course, look ahead to the draft. I think most Bills fans would say, hey, the number one priority should be getting your hands on a playmaker, a dynamic receiver, a weapon for Josh Allen. If that is indeed true, do you think the Bills wait to address wide receiver in the draft, or do you think that they go out and they maybe spend a little bit money on one of the wide receivers that might be out there in free agency?
I mean, talking to Brandon Bean, and I really asked him that direct question at the end of season news conference. He kind of flat out said, don't expect us to kind of go all in on a receiver with a ton of money because he felt like they were more than one player away. He said, when you lose in the wild card round, you tend to be more than one player away. He, you know, felt that that was really usually the case and especially true with the Buffalo Bills. So I don't know, unless he's smokescreening a little bit, I think they're worried about keeping their own. That we just talked about in the last part of this conversation. I think when it comes to the draft and talking to people around the team, and, you know, it's all the cards are as close to the best we're going to get. So I'm not, but I mean, a lot of the speculation, if you look at the way this draft is, and we're all kind of learning about it more now as the combine approaches, right? We shift out of regular season mode into off season mode and start trying to guess what moves are going to make. Edge rusher and receiver are your two needs. If they do wait to the draft, then free agency could impact it, right? But I feel like they'd go edge rusher at 22 if they stay there. And then because there's depth in the receiver class, and they could address that need in rounds 2, 3, or 4. And teams have historically had success doing that. Receivers are tricky near the top of a draft. You know, the transition, I had a personnel a long time, Bills personnel person one time tell me early on in my run in Buffalo, which has gone over two decades now, that receivers are tough. It's a tough transition from the college game, as it is for a lot of positions, but in terms of the precision required and the route running, that sort of thing, the sophistication of an NFL offense, they can get away with a lot more as an elite athlete at the college level. It's a whole different deal in the NFL. And a second point to that, and I think it is certainly worth repeating, when you look at the recent history of this organization, receivers don't necessarily make quarterbacks better, right? Like, they can make the dimension of an offense better, certainly, and the Bills need help in the passing game, and I'm certainly not denying the need for a receiver. But Josh Allen really, first and foremost, needs to clean things up in terms of some of his fundamentals, in terms of his decision-making, that next step between years two and three that can be such a critical one for a young quarterback with those expectations around him and that type of draft pick, he really needs to step forward. You look back, you know, we don't need to go into detail about a general manager named Whaley, a receiver named Watkins, and a quarterback named Manuel, and why Watkins was drafted to help a certain quarterback who, obviously, it's not a direct comparison between Josh Allen and A.J. Manuel. I'm not making that in terms of level of talent, potential, that sort of thing, shortcomings at all. I think Allen is light years ahead of where Manuel was and ever would necessarily be. But the point is the same. You put Watkins with, you know, a Patrick Mahomes, and what happens? They win a Super Bowl, as Vic Carucci pointed out on our Monday night talk show the other night, Sports Talk Live, Buffalo. So don't get too caught up. I think they will address receiver, but the idea that that solves all the problems for this offense necessarily isn't the case at all. I don't think that expectation should exist among the fan base. Josh Allen, first and foremost, has to take the next step. There were guys open downfield last year a number of times, right? And he just flat out missed them. That long ball especially, he's got to get that fixed.
Adam, one last question here. Tre'Davious White, when does this start to get real in terms of a negotiation between White's representatives and Brandon Bean?
So I think they're probably initiating those talks now. And it's something that I know that Bean certainly wants to address. I can't tell you exactly when it's going to happen. But when you asked him about, I think it was projected at $81 million, maybe a little higher than that. You know, all these offseason projections into how much cap room they're going to have. And to one of your previous questions, we talked about maybe making a splash in free agency. And Bean was reluctant to say that. I did ask him directly about it. What type of flexibility does this amount of cap space give you? And he talked more about the long term, right? He talked about, yes, addressing some of the needs, keeping some of their own, adding some pieces defensively and offensively for 2020. But in terms of the actual how it's going to play out over the long term, making sure they had enough money to address a situation like Tre'Davious White. And ultimately, he spoke to Josh Allen. He hopes that he evolves to a certain level that they can pay him, you know, big money for the long term and really lock him down as a franchise quarterback. So I think with the moves you're suggesting and how they're going about addressing them and how they manipulate the salary cap and deal with situations, you have to consider that long-term outlook that Bean spoke directly to at the end of season news conference in terms of how he wanted to really the kind of the approach to his spending moving forward to try and get this team and this franchise to a championship level.
Adam, you're more than gracious with your time to join us here in Rochester in the Sports Bar on ESPN Rochester. I wanted to give you a chance before we let you go to tell our audience where they can see more of your work, read more of your work, hear more of your work.
We are. I appreciate that, guys. You know, WGRZ-TV, NBC affiliate in Buffalo, those who happen to are on the fringe of our viewing area, we have a joint relationship content-wise with the Buffalo News and do what I think is a very interesting talk show once a week, Monday nights, 7:30 on Channel 2. So in addition to the newscast content, there is that. That's available by podcast really every Monday night. And you know, we'll have Vic Carucci, veteran Bills beat writer on the show most weeks, Jay Skursky, whose work I'm sure you've read from the Buffalo News, as well Mike Harrington, Lance Lyselski on the Sabres. They all appear on the show, and you'll hear their opinions. Available wherever you download your podcast, just search 2, the number 2, the mic, and you can catch the podcast version if you can't see the show on a regular basis. And we're up on Twitter, at Adam Bonini. You know, we're part of the conversation. And that's the one great thing about Buffalo, Rochester, Western New York is a sports town. Everyone has an opinion. We have ours, and we like to hear everyone else's and share ours as well. So all the social media platforms and over the air as well. We appreciate you having us on today.
Adam, thanks so much. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, guys. Take care. Good luck.
You got it. Adam Bonini, WGRZ-TV in Buffalo. Good stuff.
I go back to the Sabres conversation. He brings up a good point. Reinhardt scoring. If you're looking for vet, we want to look at it from our perspective. Okay, can we get anything for Ristolainen at this point? Oh, please. Nope, nobody's going to. Teams will want Sam Reinhart.
Well, sure. And you've telegraphed right now with the move to sign Skinner. You've kind of telegraphed what your ultimate role for Skinner is going to be, right? It's where Reinhart is right now. And maybe that's why there's been a reluctance to play Skinner up with Eichel, because what we're trying to do is create value for Reinhart.
You devil. You think there's an ulterior motive putting Reinhart up there.
Of course. Now you have somebody who maybe looks a little bit more glamorous than he did at the start of the season.
Oh, man, I love that take. That's,
going into restricted free agency, you don't want to have to pay that guy the kind of money he's going to command on the market. Let another team make that. So, yeah, it's nice. He's scoring goals. And I'm the guy that, honestly, I believe Reinhart should be a part of this organization move. Like, I like Reinhart's game. I like that every year he's gotten better and better, and I think it continues. But I wouldn't be angry if that was the move they decided to make. If they said, all right, we got to move Reinhart, and we will get a decent piece in return. Now we can move Skinner up to that role that he was so prolific in last year. We'll see.
You got a first-round pick way back when for Evander Kane. Could you get a first-round pick for Reinhart?
Oh, man, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Maybe. No, I don't think so.
No. So it's got to be something good. So watch. We'll get to that Monday evening. Be like, oh, my gosh, they didn't do anything again.
Yeah. It's time for All Drink to That in the Sports Bar. We have some takes. We're going to unleash them on you next. Takes on Tap. By the way, your takes are always welcome here in the Sports Bar as well. You can call us at 454-ESPN or 454-3776. You mentioned it in SportsCenter. Jeremy Roenick is out at NBC. I have a take on Roenick. And
what, you just can't say things like that about your coworkers? No.
What kind of world do we live in?
Oh, come on.
Also, just another data point to remind Bills fans that there is a NFL franchise that is the doppelganger of the Buffalo Bills. I'll share those takes next in the sports market.
Okay. So Carlos Beltran is the villain now in this cheating. You and you're getting shamed. I'm gonna kind of point to another franchise that hasn't been involved in this cheating scandal. But if they're gonna, baseball really wanted to dig further, I want more answers here. Which baseball franchise that right now hasn't been indicted in this cheating scandal should we take a look at? Also, there's a quarterback out there right now that in the NFL, and we're not talking about Philip Rivers, who's already been released. We're not talking about Cam Newton. There's another quarterback that started last year that is on the trade block. We'll tell you the latest in the quarterback carousel. And yes, in case you didn't know, Friday is Valentine's Day. So I'm going to give you my overview on Valentine's and why one gift. Yeah, what the executive producer wanted here. I'm going to tell you what this is really all about.
Gene, are you going to get yourself in trouble at home? You keep firing off takes on the executive producer. I'm a little bit nervous about you, buddy.
I'm not home tonight. I'm calling Victor against Pittsburgh. Menden, this is Victor undefeated. Menden at 12-4, so I'm not going to see her tonight.
All right, so she has a short memory, and you're hoping she has a short memory. Yeah. All right, I'll drink to that is on the way next in the Sports Bar. Thanks for joining us, AM 950, 95.7 FM, and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.